This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Elizabeth Keithley. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Elizabeth, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Wow. I'm involved a lot with digital asset management. I'm on the board of the DAM Foundation. I'm currently head of the education committee. I'm also an author. I have a book that just came out, and you can see that on Amazon. Gosh, I write a lot about digital asset management, and I own Atlanta Metadata Authority, which helps people with staffing for digital asset management. And I also go in and do a lot of arrangement and description of large sets for people. When you work in digital asset management for a while, you get to this point where you grow the skill set where you can start manipulating thousands or even tens of thousands of assets at a time instead of touching individual ones, although you're still going to do that from time to time anyway. And I help people with their metadata modeling and flip everything into CSV sheets usually and help them with their controlled vocabulary and making everything sort of standard and maybe some digital preservation concerns and evening out their library so they can find things basically, which is really just called metadata management. Some people call it metadata cleanup. In the old days, we used to call it library cataloging. You know, now we just call it digital asset management work mostly, I guess.
And you recently authored a new book called Digital Asset Management, Content Architectures, Project Management, and Creating Order Out of Media.
Yes, I did. And you were the technical editor on that book, Henrik.
I was.
Yes, I was so glad to have somebody who could sit there and make me mind my P's and Q's as we went through. Yeah, I'm really glad the book is out. If people are thinking about buying it, I highly recommend trying to get a hold of the PDF copy. I think that's the best copy because it's in color and all the links are active. I'm making the audio copy. It's an abridged audio version free on my website. So if you go to atlantametadata.com, you can get the abridged audio version. And the reason it's abridged is that the book in its other forms has all these charts and graphs and illustrations and photos. But of course, in the audiobook, you don't get those. And that's also part of why I made it free, because there is a substantial amount of the content missing in the audio version. But I wanted to do an audio version anyway, because I remember when I was a student, I often wanted to read these kind of books and I didn't have the money. So I thought, well, I kind of wanted to learn how to do podcasting and this kind of thing anyway. So a free audiobook version of my own work is a good way to start that.
Can you explain why you decided to write this book and why people should read it?
I decided to write the book because over the past couple of years, I've been writing some articles for the Journal of Digital Media Management and working for the DAM Foundation. I realized that I had a lot of knowledge that people were interested in, and I really like writing about digital asset management. I actually enjoy that process, as masochistic as that may seem. Some people find it really painful, but I kind of enjoy it because when I sit down to write about digital asset management, it makes me think about the things that I know in a different way. And it forces me to express sort of the tenets of the practice of these systems that we work on in a way that I ordinarily wouldn't do for myself. And honestly, it helps me remember things more. I have had the experience, and I don't know if you've had this, Henrik, where I would be working on a DAM and I would go back to do a task that I had done before, maybe altering a metadata model or getting down on the code base of something, and I couldn't remember how to do it. And so I would email one of my workers and ask them, hey, could you just remind me how we do this? And they would forward me back the instructions I had written them a couple of years earlier on how to do that task. And it's just because if you don't do it every day, you forget the steps and that kind of thing. And the book is very general. It doesn't go into any specific systems because I think that the evolution of DAM systems is moving so fast that any book on that would be quickly dated. It's more of an overview of what DAM systems are and how they work and how you can set one up and just sort of common issues. But I kind of wanted to get it all down in print form before I forget it because, you know, we're always learning new things and working on different things. And I think it's fun.
What are the biggest challenges and successes with digital asset management?
Gosh, what are the biggest challenges and successes? I think the biggest challenges with digital asset management are simply change management. In particular, I think that the way that we do hiring and promotion and human resources in general right now is really broken across corporate America. We have these human resource officers, and I tried to address this a little bit when I did the Dan Foundation salary survey, but I address it more in the book. But we have these human resource officers, and they want to put people in a category. They want to say either you're a tech worker, or you're a marketing worker, or you work in creative services, or you work in print. And digital asset management is all of these things and more. We see this weird problem where people spend all this money on these solutions and they don't necessarily get adopted across organizations because there's this division of labor and this categorization of labor that in a lot of ways is very artificial. The other thing that we see is that quite often people who maybe are younger or are coming at this as their first career or maybe even their third career, the job has been typed one way or the other and they can't get there because it's perceived to be the wrong rung on the ladder, either too low or too high. And that's just ridiculous. If you can do the work and you're good at the work, you should be allowed to have that position. And this is something we're just going to continue to struggle with. There's a lot of societal shifts going on with that now. I really like the Zappos model. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Where there's no hierarchy?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you why I think it's brilliant?
Please.
I think it's brilliant because what I saw during my time in corporate America is that you have people who are maybe at the end of their career and they want to dial it back. They want to dial their responsibilities back. And a lot of times you see people saying, oh, they're just sitting out their time or whatever. But unfortunately, they're sitting out their time in a management position. And that can really mess everybody else up. And what they should really be allowed to do is retain that seniority because they are valuable to the company for being there, but they shouldn't be in the position of power. But at the same time, that shouldn't be viewed as a demotion.
Right.
We want to keep those people in the workplace. They're very valuable. There's no reason they can't continue to contribute, but why are we insisting that these people are senior management? At the same time, you might have people lower down the scale who don't have a lot of project management skills because they're new to the workforce. Or maybe because they're younger, they're starting a family. There's all these different reasons why you might be given more responsibility or less responsibility, but that doesn't necessarily fit with the title of associate or newcomer or middle manager. You need to be able to take steps up and down in responsibility in relation to what's going on at your stage of life and not view that as like having you take a hit. Or for my generation of women who tend to be like super educated, they shouldn't have to drop out of the workforce at any point. They should just be able to dial it back for a little while. I think the Zappos model really allows for that. I think it's going to allow for much more intergenerational harmony. And also it's going to compensate for the fact that we have this weird thing that's happened where everybody who's younger has all the educational credentials because they've had to get them to compete with the baby boomers who are still in the workforce. It's very weird right now, and I think the Zappos model is kind of brilliant, and I hope it works, and I hope it gets adopted, but I'm not holding my breath either. What do you think of it?
It's an interesting idea of having people being able to try new things, which is often a struggle for younger people, people who are more junior in their career, and then also more senior people, to your point, going back down to basics. Which I've seen many people try to do towards their retirement is they want to go back down to basics and not be remembered as the boss.
Yeah. And if you have, you know, some 27-year-old mm-hmm. who's really got a good idea and is just lighting it on fire and wants to work those 50-hour weeks and manage a product, let them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason why you shouldn't harness that energy. Rather than saying, well, you need to slow down because you're not going to be a manager for another 10 years and you just need to wait.
Yeah.
And
that's primarily one of the reasons why the younger generation may leave a job.
Because they're not getting the chances that they want to take.
Exactly. Because the growth isn't there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love the Zappos model. I hope that moves on. So I guess the biggest challenges that I see in digital asset management are just that human resource thing. And the biggest successes that I see, oh my gosh, really in the field of photography, period. I've seen a lot of people that have been able to start their own businesses because they get digital asset management in a way that no one else does. And I saw this earlier in my life in the 90s. There were a lot of people my age who just got the internet early on in a way that other people didn't. and were able to make a good living out of it while being self-employed. And I see that a lot with digital asset management too, and it makes me really happy.
I've noticed that the creation of photography doesn't pay as much as the management of photography.
Oh, absolutely. When you have these kids now who have grown up with digital photography, which means they've always gotten instant feedback on lighting and composition, they never had to wait for film to get developed to learn what makes a good photograph. If they have the capacity to understand visual composition and light, they're going to instinctively get it just by, you know, having a phone. So the creation of photography, great photography, just isn't as technical as it used to be. So the value of that has dropped. But the management of photography, you're right, that's a rare skill. And if you can do that, you can have your own business and you can travel the world and do what you want to do. I actually did a talk at Henry Stewart, New York in 2013, last year, called Damn in the Postmodern Workplace. And I don't remember if you saw that or not. I know you were there.
Yeah,
I'm re-releasing that as a video sometime in the next couple of weeks. I don't know if anybody's going to watch it. It's going to be kind of weird because it's going to be me talking over like a bunch of film clips and stuff. But I'm going to put it out there on YouTube because I really enjoyed giving that talk. And I think the people who got it, and people who didn't. But I'm hoping it'll get a wider audience, and the people who need to pay attention to that will.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Never stop reading. Read the Journal of Digital Media Management, listen to this blog, read the transcripts of your blog, which, by the way, there's a ton of quotes from your book in my book. Keep learning. It is moving so fast that if you stop for a minute, well, maybe not a minute, if you stopped for 6 months or 12 months, you would not know what was going on in digital asset management. It's moving so fast. If you don't pay attention, you're going to get left behind. And the great way to make money on the internet, of course, is to try to stay just a little bit ahead of what conventional practices are so that you know how to do the things that maybe other people don't. Mm-hmm. And then they can pay you to do them.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Henrik.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.